The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today's Ireland has an independent electoral commission, and they're launching plans in areas they want to research over the next year or so, including concepts like lowering the voting age, changing the design of ballot papers and reviewing the 1997 Electoral Act. Art O'Leary is the CEO of Coimisiún Toghchán, which is Ireland's electoral commission, and he's with us now. Art, good morning to you.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
There's a lot to be said about the Irish system. It takes forever to count the votes. But, you know, the system holds up because no matter who you vote for, they're probably going to be represented in some shape or form because of the way that the system is set up. And arguably it's more reflective of the public mood than the British or arguably the French system is.
Yes, I couldn't disagree with you there. You know, ourselves and Malta are the only two states which use this system of PRSTV, and surely we can't both be wrong. You know, so it is said that Irish politicians are one of the most representative groups of politicians, because people get the opportunity to work their way right through a ballot paper to express a preference, you know. And I know it takes a long time. We understand that it took almost a week to conclude the count for the recent European Parliament elections. But I always say these things. I mean, do you want to do it properly, or do you want to do it quickly? You can't have both, you know, in our system of elections. So, I mean, we can change it. I mean, the Irish people have been asked on two occasions in the last 100 years whether they would like to change their electoral system. On both occasions, they said no. So let's assume that the Irish people like the electoral system. So we can either do electronic voting, electronic counting. We can make it harder for people to get on the ballot paper, because that was one of the issues which was raised in Midlands Northwest. As you'll remember, there were 27 candidates in the European Parliament. Or else we can just devote a huge number of additional resources to counting. And there are many ways of skinning this particular cat.
Yeah, and I suppose that the system itself is working well, but there are different areas of it that need to be looked at. I mean, the ballot paper alone. I mean, you mentioned Northwest there. That wasn't a ballot paper, that was a book. And if you went in with the intention of voting for candidate X, you'd spend ages trying to find them. Is there a way of restricting the number of candidates where you're not going against the democratic right of people to stand for election?
Yeah, it's a balance that has to be struck, really. You know, we don't make it hard for candidates to get on the ballot paper. I mean, political parties can nominate candidates, obviously, but getting a small number of voters to nominate you, or to make a small deposit to get on the ballot paper, is the way that we historically have chosen to run our elections. But these are things we can certainly have a look at. You know, the ballot paper, the length of it seems to have been a difficulty. But funnily, we did have an experiment in 2011 where there was a long ballot paper in Wicklow, where rather than having the toilet roll sized ballot paper, they did it in two columns, you know, unfortunately, many people voted 1, 2, 3 in the first column and 1, 2, 3 in the second column, thinking that they were two separate papers, you know. So this is all about education, information. And this is one of the real reasons that we're doing research in this area, is to have a look at these issues from every perspective and to make an evidence-based recommendation, which is informed by international best practice.
At the risk of sounding stupid, should we consider electronic voting at any stage? Would that not make life a little bit easier?
I think it's probably on the table. You know, I mean, we had a very poor
experience.
Do we
still have the machines?
No, I don't. I think those machines were all disposed of. So we'd be talking about pushing that boulder to the top of the hill again. But I don't know. Post-COVID, it does appear as if people are more trusting of technology, you know, and that if we are now trusting our money to a simple tap when you walk in to get a cup of coffee or to make small purchases, then are we ready to consider voting electronically? Who knows? You know, for me personally, I like the manual count, because to me, it gives us the most glorious opportunity to educate Irish people and to inform Irish people about the way that our system works. But ultimately, the people will decide these things, you know, so that the House of the Oireachtas will obviously make some recommendations or legislate for this if it is to happen. And then for the bigger issues like the number of TDs we have or voting at 16, these issues will require a referendum of the Irish people. So the people will speak.
The number of TDs is an interesting point because it is configured a certain way at the moment, and you're tweaking and twisting constituency boundaries, like the constituency I'm in is going from a four-seater to a five-seater at the next general election, but the number of TDs is capped. With a growing population, what, nearly 5.5 million at this point? Is that sufficient to have, 166 TDs representing them, or 170, or do we keep growing up to match the numbers that are there?
Funnily, you know, the constituency review that we did, I mean, I've always described it as a battle between maths and geography. You know, we try and maintain county boundaries to the extent that we can. But, I mean, our constitution says that there's one TD for every 20 to 30,000 members of the population. So it's never expressed in these terms. But our population is rising at a rate of two TDs per year. So every census cycle is going to add an extra 11 TDs until we have a conversation about TD numbers. You know, and this is why it's on the agenda for us for our research programme, because we would like to start a conversation around that. Ultimately, the Irish people will be happy. If they're happy with this, then it stays the same and we keep going and going and going. But there are many alternatives, you know, in the UK, which you mentioned earlier on. They've capped the number of members of parliament at 650 and they work their population around that. They do redistributions to suit that. Capping numbers, TD numbers is probably one option if we were going to change it, you know.
What are the biggest things we could do here and we don't is the postal vote. Why don't we do the postal vote? In the UK, it was a sizable portion of actually how people voted in last week's election. And it's the norm in countries like the United States, France, other comparable democracies. Why do we hate the postal vote?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of postal voting. And it's something that we don't use often enough, even within the existing rules, which are people who, because of medical reasons, they aren't able to attend, or for students studying away from home, etc. They're currently not entitled, or they're currently entitled to a postal vote, but they tend not to use them. And I don't know whether
they don't know about it. Is how I'm going to suggest it. Because traditionally, we have been told you have to march in to your local school, have your name crossed off a list to vote. I mean, for example, I would consider myself reasonably knowledgeable. Not great, but reasonably knowledgeable. Mm. I didn't realise I could have used a postal vote, because it would have worked out very well for me in a few elections over the years.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, as I said, of postal voting. And I think the recent example of elections on the 7th of June, this was the first week of the summer holidays. I mean, I've had a quick look at the CSO figures, and based on last year's figures, there could have been 300,000 people who had left the country or were away from home on holidays. And the way the system is set up right now, those people were denied a vote, and many of these would have gone out to vote. So we need to start making it easier for people to vote, you know. And the Australian Electoral Commissioner is in Dublin this week, and they make it easy for people to vote because it's mandatory. You can walk into any polling station in the country in Australia, no matter where you are, or you can walk into any embassy anywhere in the world and say, I'm here to vote in Sydney North or whatever it is, you know. So we're a long, long way from that. So we're going to have a look at postal voting and other methods of voting. It may even be advanced voting for people who are on holidays as well. We need to try and make it easier.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't vote twice. So if your vote is in, your vote is in. Election posters is always something that gets people's goat around this time. We had every single poll in the country plastered with them. Do we still need election posters? I mean, people have their pictures on the ballot now. The reason why we had posters was that idea of name recognition. Can we get rid of the posters, or can we be a grown-up country?
Yeah, well, it's always controversial. And on the face of it, when you think about it, you know, even for environmental reasons, all of these posters and all the cable ties, on the face of it, must be doing some damage to the environment. But on the other side of that argument, is when people need to consider that, I mean, there are a group of people, I don't know how big or how small it is in this country, who don't realise that elections are on until they start seeing the posters going up on lampposts. And I would love it if my teenage daughters listened to radio programmes like this and read the Irish Times and watched
I'm offended, Arsh, that they're not listening right now. And I think that's more of a reflection on you as a parent than it is on the child.
If you're offended, you can only imagine how I feel, you know. But I mean, my teenage daughters live their lives through the lens of TikTok and Instagram, you know, and we can't ignore that fact as well. So we need to be reaching out to as many people in as many different ways, you know. And the other issue about the posters themselves, you know, it does offer particularly new candidates the opportunity to introduce themselves to voters. Irish people like to see the people that they're voting for. And if they don't catch them on canvassing, and we understood the difficulties that were associated with canvassing in the recent elections, that that people were maybe not as open to doing this as they had been in the past. So this is an opportunity for new candidates, particularly female candidates, who are trying to encourage to get out, to introduce themselves. And if you abolished posters, perhaps that would give incumbents an unfair advantage because they're already well known and they're already public figures in their constituency. But there are many sides to this argument, and it's not as black and white as that. And you could fall somewhere down in the middle where perhaps you could cap the number of posters that candidates could use, or they could be used only in certain parts of a city or a town or an area. Who knows? This is the reason that we're doing the research on it.
The other thing about the world and how it changes, the Electoral Commission, you know, there is always, if there's a referendum, there is always going to be a High Court judge appointed so that people get the right information and the best information. Is there research being carried out on how people can be assured that the process they're taking part in is the right one, i.e. the information they're getting is correct? You mentioned TikTok and other social media there, and we were talking about it on the programme earlier. Is there any role for the likes of the Electoral Commission when it comes to election to hold people to account for promises that might be made on social media or claims made on social media before a poll?
Well, I mean, there are two different issues here. You know, we do have a former Supreme Court judge as chair of the Electoral Commission, and this is a permanent commission now, which exists unlike the previous referendum commissions, which dissolved on polling day in the past. So we will be producing a report after every electoral event. So we'll be shortly producing our review of both the information campaign and the administration of the elections for the referendums last March, and we'll be doing the same about June. But on the specific issue of mis and disinformation, I mean, this is a challenge faced by every electoral management body in the world right now, and some of the brightest minds in the world are looking at this. There is legislation, which the scheme of legislation was approved by government last week to give the Electoral Commission a role in mis and disinformation, particularly where it is associated with the electoral process. You know, there was a recent election in a European country where there was a very clever campaign, disinformation campaign run a couple of days before polling day, where it was suggested that if you write your name on the ballot paper, you'll be entered into a raffle, you know, and thousands of people wrote their names on ballot papers in the hopes of winning an iPad, you know, and it is the simplicity of that is where the Electoral Commission has a very, very strong role in coming out, particularly where it refers to electoral process information, where we need to be out there and banging the door saying, listen, this isn't true.
Give us the details, if you can, on how people can get involved in the research. I could look it up.
Oh, it's on the Electoral Commission website, electoralcommission.ie. It was launched about half an hour ago. So we're expecting some interest in this and some traffic. We're always delighted to hear from members of the public. So info@electoralcommission.ie if you have any thoughts or hopes and dreams about Electoral Commission. There will also be a public consultation element to a number of these research programmes because we are keen to hear from the public in relation to how they feel about things like votes at 16 or postal ballots or postering, etc.
Well, and lots of people have strong opinions on all of those matters, so hopefully they'll get in contact with you. Arthur Leary from On Commission Tóchán, Ireland's Electoral Commission. Thanks very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.